booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, if you're listening to this, that means you survived St. Patrick's Day. Congratulations to have St. Patrick's Day, St. Joseph's Day, and the setting the clocks back all in the same week, or I guess setting the clocks ahead, is something that can be very arduous and very trying, and congratulations, you've made it. Welcome to the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano.
And I'm Juliet Huddy. Good to see you, Frank.
It's great to see you.
By the way, I went to one of the most amazing spots down in the Meatpacking District on the top of the Restoration Hardware, you know, the furniture company, the house decor company.
Sure.
They have this incredible, incredible restaurant, beautiful, with lots of terraces. We definitely have to go there sometime. It was
What's
fantastic.
The name of it?
It's called RH, Rooftop, like Restoration Hardware Rooftop. But, I mean, it literally, you walk in on the ground level, on the street level, to this just glorious-looking furniture store. I mean, it's like, it looks like a palace. And you take this beautiful elevator up. I actually put it all on my Instagram. But my friend Gina and I had her birthday lunch there. And it was very nice, you know. No, it wasn't packed. There weren't crowds anywhere, really, downtown. So I don't know what it was like later on, but it wasn't too bad yesterday.
Wonderful.
But anyway.
Looks like you guys had a good time. If people want to see Juliet's Instagram, they could find her at Juliet Huddy TV.
Yes, and don't mind the one clip of us walking to the subway where we were babbling a little bit, because that was after a few drinks.
No, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, it was her birthday. Christian and Gabby are at the controls. Deb, as you heard, is following breaking news stories at the news desk. Sid has sports at 5:15. And here's what you're going to be talking about around the water cooler today. Cuomo. And also that horrific shooting down near Atlanta. So many questions about what the motivations were. We'll talk about that. And your Jet Set Juliet travel update at 5:40. History buffs desperate for a fix. Again, this is your day. Day number two, where I give you my favorite historic hotels in the United States. This is my top 10 list, but this is the top five of the top 10.
All right. Well, in the meantime, we have traffic and transit on the sevens every 10 minutes. We're doing the traffic with a Joseph, and I understand he will be with us celebrating St. Joseph's Day at the Friars Club, Juliet.
Really?
Joe Nolan, yes, that's the word on the streets. Isn't that right, Joe?
Well, good morning, everybody. We do have a problem on the Jersey Turnpike on the northbound Eastern Spur coming up to the Lincoln Tunnel at 16E, 18E. There's an overturned vehicle. The right lane going to be out of service as you come on up to that. And then southbound on the Turnpike, that inner roadway is closed. The overnight maintenance, that should be another hour or so before they get that cleared. On Long Island, westbound Southern State, west of Central Avenue, which is exit 13, car went off the roadway into the woods. A lot of activity with that. And alternate side is in effect. This report, a service of Merrill with Merrill Guided Investing. You have the option to work with an advisor at low cost and minimum. Get started at MerrillEdge.com/investing goals. Merrill Edge, Pierce, Fenner, and Smith Incorporated, both a registered broker dealer and investment advisor, member SIPC. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joe. What does our future look like climate wise? Will Mother Nature be nice to us? That is the question that will be answered momentarily.
This is the WABC Early News.
Welcome back, everybody. Okay, let's take a look at the weather that you're going to be seeing over the next few days from the Ramsey Subaru Weather Center. I'm just all perplexed because Frank did something with his screen. I don't know. I'm confused. Anyway, I'll deal with that later. Let's talk about today. We're going to be seeing periods of rain, and it could be fairly heavy at certain points. We're going to get up to about 47 degrees. Winds aren't going to be too bad, but the chance of rain is 100%. So that's the bad news. The worst news is that we could see about an inch of rain, which is really lousy. And then it will continue through the night, raining with some snow mixing in overnight, a low of 32 degrees. Again, 100% chance of this. The wind gusts will start to pick up a bit. So just FYI on that one. By tomorrow, though, we'll have some clouds in the morning, but then sun in the afternoon. It'll look pretty decent, only about 40 degrees. But by Saturday, it'll get really nice, 54 degrees and just completely sunny. No winds to speak of. So I guess it'll be a very nice day. I mean, this would be a nice day to sit outside. Sunday, the same thing, up to 56 degrees and sunny. Monday, we start getting further and further into the work week. We start seeing the higher temperatures, and we could see right around the 60s by about Tuesday. So currently it is, let me see, it is 45 degrees in New York City, again, getting up to 47 with 100% chance of rain today.
All right. Well, Governor Andrew Cuomo is announcing another round of coronavirus restriction rollbacks. Starting Monday, indoor fitness classes can resume statewide, and the five remaining cluster zones will go away. That will impact the East Bronx, the West Bronx, Manhattan and Kew Gardens, and Forest Hills in Queens. Meantime, the 11 o'clock curfew will no longer be in effect on April 5th. That includes movie theaters, casinos, gyms, fitness centers. No word yet on whether on when a curfew will be lifted for restaurants and bars, but the governor says the topic will be revisited in late April.
Frank, I got another letter from Governor Cuomo.
Oh, you guys are getting awfully chummy.
Would you like to hear what it says?
Yes.
All right. He says earlier today, and this was yesterday, he got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. You probably heard that from Sarah Lee Kessler. So he got it at the Mount Nebo Baptist Church vaccination site, and he said he wanted to do it because he wants to spread a key message that the vaccines do work, they are safe, and New Yorkers need to take whatever vaccine they can as soon as they can. I will agree with him on this one. And he said that, yeah, we are going to be really moving this forward, this process forward, as supply allows. But he says, as soon as you are eligible, get the vaccines. They are safe and effective.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly going to be interesting to see, now that more and more people are becoming eligible, to see how many folks end up getting this vaccine. So,
well, I have to tell you, I have spoken to quite a few people, friends, acquaintances, friends of friends, a lot of people saying that they are not eligible yet, but they have gone in and somehow gotten their vaccines. And I think the feeling is maybe it's sort of this unspoken rule. Whoever wants it, just, you know, I think the feeling is, at least at some of these vaccination sites, just give it to them because we want people vaccinated.
Well, let me tell you what's happening in the state of New Jersey. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy is encouraging more schools to welcome students back for in-person learning exactly a full year after districts went remote. Nearly 100 districts are still 100% online, with more than 317,000 students forced to log on each morning. The goal is to get schools back to full in-person learning by September. The governor says New Jersey schools will be getting a boost from the American Rescue Plan, promising his administration is doing everything it can to ensure a safe return to classrooms.
Mm-hmm. All right. We are going to talk a little bit more about what's happening in the world, and including down in Miami Beach, where police are cracking down on spring breakers. We will be right back with Sid Sports.
Rudy Giuliani here. Are you prepared for higher taxes, less benefits, and less money overall? If Biden eliminates tax deductions for contributions to IRAs, 401ks, and 403bs, is your portfolio protected? Call Monetary Gold right now for your free gold guide. Protect your future. Call now, 888-204-2141. That's 888-204-2141. Or MonetaryGold.com.
77 WABC does not endorse or evaluate advertisers' products nor any of their claims. Check advertiser's site for details.
This is the WABC Early News.
At 5:15, this is the WABC Early News. We have traffic, we have business, we have weather, and we have sports with Sid Rosenberg.
Good morning, Frank. Frank loves my cufflinks today.
I do.
Why wouldn't he? Silver New York Met cufflinks. $50, by the way.
Oh,
a score.
That is a bargain if ever there was
one.
Are these
beautiful or what? No Mets today, though, Frank. We're going to start with the Brooklyn Nets, which is close. These guys are really good. They beat the Indiana Pacers last night, 124-115. Don't look now, but your Brooklyn Nets are tied atop the Eastern Conference with the Philadelphia 76ers. Here's Nets star Joe Harris on being in first.
To be honest, I don't think we really think about that too much. I mean, we're really just... you know, pretty simply just trying to come out and win every single night, you know, regardless of all the, you know, external things.
Mike Breen told me on Sid Sports Sunday this week he thinks the Nets are going to win the championship. Knickerbocker is back on home court tonight, Madison Square Garden. They'll host the Orlando Magic. As my old friend Warner Wolf would say, if you are the Philadelphia Flyers and 8.5 goals last night. You lost. Rangers beat the Flyers 9-0 on a day where the Rangers' whole coaching staff, including head coach David Quinn, taken off for COVID concerns. So they went to the AAA guy, I guess, the minor league guy, and they beat the Flyers 9-0. Flyers stay in New York. They'll take on the Red Hot Islanders later on tonight. Pittsburgh in New Jersey for the Devils. I'm talking about Met Cup links and spring training baseball. Yankees have named Clint Frazier the starting left fielder this year. Here's Clint yesterday from Tampa.
I think I came into camp wanting to try something slightly different from last year, just to try to see if I could make a little bit better of a move towards the ball, and it didn't work, and I scrapped it real quick. And obviously, you know, I had the game that I had yesterday that kind of helped, you know, get things going, because all I've been trying to do is just build consistency.
By the way, guys, Saturday is the first day of spring. We are now less than 2 weeks away from opening day, Major League Baseball. Sports at 15 and 45 for the WABC Early News. I'm Sid Rosenberg.
And I happen to hear that interview that Sid Rosenberg did with Mike Breen on Sunday. It was quite good. And I will say, even if people aren't interested in sports, they had some great old-time radio reminiscing that if you are not a sports fan, but you're a radio fan, you're going to want to go back and listen to the podcast, especially if you're an old Imus fan. A great, great interview. It's available at WABCRadio.com. Want to encourage you to listen to Joe Nolan as he gives you the best guidance on the sevens in terms of traffic and transit. Hello there, Joe.
Yeah, westbound on the southern state, just west of Central Avenue, exit 13. There's a car went off the roadway into the woods. They're still working on that. On the Jersey Turnpike, northbound, the eastern spur approaching 16E, 18E. There's an overturned vehicle. The right lane is out. And then southbound on the inner roadway, all lanes are closed with that overnight maintenance. That will continue. Livingston Avenue at the New Brunswick, North Brunswick line. Apparently a water main break. Only one lane open each way. And alternate side of the street parking rules again today are in effect. I'm Joe Nolan. Traffic on the 7. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
All right. Thank you, Joe. A lot of people are breathing a sigh of relief. Frank has your business news talking about the tax deadline. Plus, your Jet Set Juliet travel update is up at 540. My top five favorite American hotels, rich in beauty and history.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
520, this is the WABC Early News. The Dow Jones up 189 yesterday. The S&P rose 11 and the NASDAQ up 54. And procrastinators all over the country are celebrating today because millions of taxpayers are being given more time to file their returns. The IRS said yesterday it's delaying next month's deadline and postponing it until May 17th amidst pressure from lawmakers. The agency was already behind on processing returns as it continues sending out a third round of stimulus checks. The IRS also has to send out payments for an expanded child tax credit and waive income taxes on unemployment benefits per the recently passed COVID relief bill. And if anyone from the IRS is listening, I will just add, I am still waiting for my refund, which I had hoped to have by tomorrow, so that I could have some money to gamble with in Las Vegas. So I would appreciate some personal attention from the good folks over at the IRS, Juliet.
They are wonderful folks, aren't they? Let's give a cheer out to the IRS.
You know, so the IRS, they do have a lot of hardworking people there. They're often villainized, and I think unfairly so in many cases.
I concur. I absolutely concur. Okay.
When people are thinking about which one of us to audit Juliet.
I just said I concur.
But it was a half-hearted concurrence.
No, I just didn't want to sound like I was being too, you know, sycophantic. WABC Early News time is 5:20. Coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update, history, elegance, some salacious stories, more of them, my top 10 favorite historic hotels of America. We now will go to the top five. But first, let's head over to the news desk for Deb's News Minute.
Now what's trending from the 77 WABC Early News Desk. New Jersey has extended its health emergency due to the viral pandemic.
Governor Murphy is extending New Jersey's public health emergency as officials remain focused on pushing out the coronavirus vaccine to more people.
Today's action means that we can continue our ongoing COVID-19 mitigation efforts while also vaccinating New Jersey residents as quickly and safely as possible.
New Jersey has now administered over 3 million doses of the vaccine. Murphy says Walmart is setting aside a minimum of 10,000 doses each week for people ages 65 and up. I'm Bob Brown for 77 WABC News.
COVID-19 restrictions easing in the state of New York. Hotspot cluster zones eliminated. Curfews are being lifted beginning April 1 for things like casinos, movie theaters, and select other establishments, but not New York City restaurants. Fitness classes resume on Monday. Former Met conductor James Levin died March 9th at the age of 77 in Palm Springs, California. Juliet has your full Ramsey Subaru Weather Center forecast.
All right. Thank you very much, Deb. So today it's going to be kind of lousy. There's a gale warning. We'll have periods of rain all day long, 100% chance of that. So don't think you're going to get out lucky. You're going to escape it. And there is a potential for heavy rainfall. We could see up to an inch in places. Tonight, the temperatures will drop from 47 today down to 32, which means, well, I think you know, it means possible snow. I don't think we're going to see that much, but let's hope not, actually. Friday, nicer, 40 degrees with morning clouds, but by the afternoon we'll see sun. And that will continue on through the weekend and through next week. Saturday, we'll have a high of 54 degrees and nice sunny skies. An abundance of sun on Sunday with a high of 56 degrees. Monday, mix of sun and clouds, that same thing for Tuesday, and probably temperatures hovering right around 60 degrees. So it looks like we are starting to get warmer, and the temperatures will start to stay consistent with those non-40s, non-30s temperatures, hopefully.
And at sorry
about that. It's 45 degrees right now in the city.
And at 5:23, the jury that will hear the case against the former Minneapolis police officer accused of murdering George Floyd is now at 9. Two jurors were dismissed yesterday, and two more were seated after questioning about the city's $27 million settlement with Floyd's family. The trial of former officer Derek Chauvin is scheduled to begin March 29th, and five more jurors, including two alternates, still need to be seated. Chauvin is charged with second-degree murder and third-degree murder for kneeling on the unarmed black man's neck for nearly 9 minutes last May.
Well, things are getting really ugly as far as this Cuomo investigation into his sexual harassment accusations. The woman who was kind of at the crux of it, Lindsay Boylan, who you probably know by now is a Democratic candidate for Manhattan Borough President, she is speaking out and she is saying that the impeachment investigation against him is a sham. And she says she and some of the other women are not cooperating. She actually tweeted this out. She said, Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie, the Democrat from the Bronx, she basically rips him apart. She says, do not trust Carl Hastie. His impeachment investigation isn't designed to be transparent or to move fast. And there's nothing New York Governor Cuomo wants more than time. So she says, many of us have not put our whole lives on the line for this crap. I certainly have not and will not. So she is standing very strong against cooperating in any way with this probe. Meantime, her lawyer says that later on said that Boylan is fully cooperating with the Attorney General's probe and was interviewed last weekend by investigators assigned by the AG's office.
It is really looking ugly for Governor Cuomo. You not only have the sexual harassment investigation, you not only have the nursing home investigation, you have the investigation into the materials used on the Mario Cuomo Bridge, but now the investigation into the phone calls that Larry Schwartz, the purported vaccine czar, was making to Democratic elected officials around the state. As Yogi would say, it's getting late early. Really not
looking great. Yeah, it sounds like that guy was sort of acting as the enforcer. And I guess that sort of has been his role throughout the terms.
Well, at least since Joe Prococo has left government service, that's for sure. All right. Well, the Free Britney movement is still going strong. A group of protesters met outside a courthouse in downtown Los Angeles yesterday as Britney Spears' lawyers had a meeting on her conservatorship. TMZ reporting the meeting was because Spears is trying to recoup hundreds of thousands of dollars her dad paid to her former business manager. The meeting was reportedly about 20 minutes. This comes after the New York Times documentary Framing Britney Spears highlighted details of her career and her conservatorship.
Did you see that? You haven't seen
it. Not yet. I'm looking forward to it. I'm really in Oscar mode now. I'm sort of trying to watch only things that are Oscar nominated.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, let's go over to the former president and the problems that he's dealing with. Apparently, Michael Cohen has yet again spoken to investigators. This would be the eighth time. New York prosecutors are clearly moving forward with their investigation into former President Trump's finances. I guess Cohen is going to speak with prosecutors. He hasn't yet. These are the folks that are working with Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance. This is allegedly happening on Friday. There have been new subpoenas issued in their investigation into former President Trump. So stay tuned.
527, time for traffic and transit on the 7s. Here's Joe Nolan.
Well, a problem eastbound on 287 in Westchester coming up to the Hutch. There's an accident that's in the process of being cleared. Now on the Southern State westbound, just west of Central Avenue, exit 13, car went off the roadway and into the woods. They're working on that. In New Jersey, northbound Jersey Turnpike, the eastern spur approaching 18E, 16E, an overturned vehicle. Right lane out. Southbound inner is closed for that overnight maintenance the whole way. And alternate side of the street, parking rules and regulations are in effect. The supportive service of Indeed.com. Sometimes a hiring freeze happens because you can't find the right people. So follow the warming trend to Indeed. They have the tools to help you find the quality candidates you need to help your business. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joe. Coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update at 5:40, sleeping in a museum? Yep, you can do it. Well, not technically a museum, but they might as well be. I'll tell you about my top five favorite historic hotels here in the United States. But first, let's head over to the news desk. Deb has your headlines.
All right, now what's trending from the 77 WABC early news desk. Well, COVID-19 restrictions easing in the state of New York. Things like hotspot cluster zones, they're eliminated. Gyms can resume fitness classes on Monday. These announcements from New York's Governor Andrew Cuomo at Mount Nebo Church in South Harlem yesterday. The governor saying he is confident New York City will make a comeback.
Yeah. Baloney. We're stronger than ever after 9/11. We're more unified after 9/11. We rebuilt better after 9/11. And we're going to do the same exact thing after COVID. That is the season we are in.
Retired Representative Charles Ranger in support of Governor Cuomo amid allegations and investigations. He was at the church yesterday.
There was a no-nonsense guy that didn't give a damn about the confusion that the president had, and he took charge. And his name was Andrew Cuomo. All
right. NAA president, NAACP Hazel Dukes, also on hand at the church yesterday, and she was urging people to get vaccinated.
We can get it into our community centers. So community, come on, let's get it. Let's not hear what the people are saying. Let's believe the scientists and the doctors.
Duke turned 89 yesterday. Well, the NYPD deploying counterterrorism units around New York City following that deadly attack in Georgia. It left 8 people dead. Mayor de Blasio.
Time when so many people in this country are trying to work together to overcome the pandemic. To see this hatred, to see it take such a violent form is extraordinarily distressing.
No huge crowds for the second year in a row, but a small contingent kept New York City's annual St. Patrick's Day parade alive yesterday, stepping off in the dark around 6:30. And you can see that video on our website, WABCRadio.com. Fox National News is next.
Fox News, I'm Carmen Roberts. Nearly 24 tornadoes reported in the Deep South as a severe storm destroyed buildings, knocked out power, and caused flooding yesterday, mostly in Mississippi and Alabama. But the storm's not finished.
We still have another day to get through of severe storms, and some of these storms going through heavily populated neighborhoods now across the Southeast, the Deep South.
Fox meteorologist Janice Dean. 30 million people are in the storm's path today as it moves through Georgia and up the Mid-Atlantic. The coronavirus hinders Oklahoma's chances at the NCAA tournament.
Oklahoma head coach Kruger confirmed that guard Davion Harmon has tested positive for the coronavirus.
Fox's Matt Napolitano. COVID protocols sidelined the entire New York Rangers coaching staff last night. Still, New York beat the Flyers 9-0. America's listening to Fox News.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Hi, how dare you, Frank.
April, I apologize.
I'm Juliette Huddy. Frank, as you heard, trying to take my thunder. Steal my thunder as he always does.
I could not steal your thunder if I tried, believe me.
Well, no, I have no thunder. Just lightning. But I wanted to just really quick tease the Jet Set Juliet travel update. It's coming right up, and you don't have to go to a museum. You can just sleep there. You can even walk in. I'm going to give you my favorite historic American hotels where the walls talk. But let's get to some headlines, Frank.
All right. Well, a new study suggests those high-speed hand dryers in public bathrooms. You're familiar with those, Juliet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You like those or don't like those?
I've heard that they're very unsanitary.
You are absolutely right. Not only are they unsanitary, they can actually undo the health benefits of washing your hands. New study published yesterday reporting that hand dryers can suck in fecal bacteria and blow it all over your hands and clothes. An experiment found that levels of germs spread to surfaces touched by study volunteers were 10 times higher when they dried their hands with a dryer than when they used paper towels. More bacteria also were transferred to aprons the volunteers wore. The study was published in Infection Control and Hospital Epidemiology. Next time, use a paper towel. Stay away from the hand dryer.
You know, a lot of times they don't have paper towels, and you're just like, because I've heard this. I heard this years ago, and it's the most disgusting thing. I do kind of question it sometimes. Like, I mean, how close are these dryers to the toilets and things like that? Mm. But still, it's just completely disgusting.
Absolutely.
Okay. Marvel Comics. Have you heard this? They have unveiled their first gay Captain America character this week. And it's set to debut the role in June during Pride Month. The character's name is Aaron Fisher, and he will be included in the upcoming United States of Captain America comic book series. I guess it's a mini series, according to Entertainment Weekly. Fisher protects homeless youth and runaways, and he's discovered when Steve Rogers and a couple other characters launch a mission to find Steve's missing shield. So according to the creator, Aaron Trujillo, Aaron is inspired by heroes of the queer community, activists, leaders, and everyday folks pushing for a better life.
Well, giving away beer is definitely one way to make friends. That's what a Florida couple was hoping for when they put up a sign in their yard offering free beer. They had moved to the area just weeks before the pandemic began, making it nearly impossible to meet neighbors. But a year later, they figured it was time. In addition to the sign, they posted flyers inviting people to stop by their driveway and have a drink, and it worked. The couple says they now have plenty of friends.
That's very funny. That's actually a good idea.
I think it's very clever.
Yeah,
if they were my neighbors.
Yeah, really. Well, some people just don't like to talk to their neighbors. They just prefer to go into, you know, pull into their driveway, pull into their garage, and just not deal with anybody.
What is your neighborhood like that?
No, we have a wonderful neighborhood. We're all friends.
Same with me.
It's great. I love it. I always wanted that. It's kind of like the American dream. Speaking of the American dream, holy moly, Kanye West. I mean, he has been going through a rough time as of late. Obviously, he's getting divorced from his wife of 7 years, Kim Kardashian. But the man's got some dough. He apparently is up there because of his Yeezy shoe line and streetwear empire. Apparently, he is a multi-billionaire now. The documents have been obtained by the Post, the New York Post. These Yeezy Adidas sneakers, which have become so huge, and they're so outrageously expensive. I just don't understand why anybody would buy a pair of sneakers like this. But apparently, the empire is worth about $3.7 billion. They say that he could be worth about $6 billion or so. And if you combine in her worth, which is also outrageous, I mean, he is really up there. $6.6 billion, that would land him in company of, I mean, very few people, you know?
That's for sure. I can't understand why he didn't. I know he got into the race late, but I can't understand why he didn't spend more of that money on ballot access in his independent bid for president, because he really was not on the ballot in very many states at all. And if you have that much money, it would have been nothing for him to drop $20, $30, $40 million to pay to get on the ballot in these places.
Well, why would you want to do that when you can just have it sitting in your bank account collecting more money.
That's
and
a fair
probably
point.
Knowing that he would never win.
Yeah, that's a fair point. But we'll see what happens for 2024 if he ends up running again. 537, someone who's also been rumored as a 2024 presidential candidate. Here's Joe Nolan.
Well, some good news. Northbound on the Jersey Turnpike, that eastern spur collision at 16E, 18E, the overturned vehicle had the right lane shut. That has been cleared. Now, southbound on the inner roadway, all lanes are closed with overnight maintenance. That continues. Now, on the island, the southern state westbound into exit 13, which is Central Avenue, car went off the roadway into the woods. They are still working on that. And then in Westchester, on the eastbound side of 287 at the Hutch, there is an accident also in the process of being cleared. And alternate side of the street, parking rules are in effect. Mass transit starting the day right on or close to schedule. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thanks, Joe. So I asked Frank what his topic for his business report. All he says, automation. So people coming up in Frank's business, automation.
That's right.
And coming up before Sid Sports, we're going to take a step back in time to some of the most important critical moments in American history by walking into America's greatest historic hotels.
This is the WABC Early News.
540, this is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Moreno. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow Jones gained 189, the S&P rose 11, and the NASDAQ finished up 54 points, with investors cheering news that the Fed will leave short-term interest rates near zero. Well, the coronavirus pandemic may be pushing job automation along, and experts say this could particularly affect Black and Latino workers. COVID restrictions have prompted companies to figure out how to operate with a limited staff. This has led to fears that automation will replace the jobs of workers from restaurants to retail. A report from the Brookings Institute says Black and Latino workers could bear the brunt of it, as many workers are in jobs with the highest risk of being automated. The jobs most likely to undergo this process involve a single repetitive task like data entry or production work, Juliet.
All right. Thank you, Frank. It's time now for your Jet Set Juliet travel update. You can follow me on Twitter at Juliet Huddy TV for more information and details and pictures and things like that. But I love going on vacations. I'm not so much a beach person. I kind of have been there, done that. I really like going to places and cities and towns that are steeped in history. And I figured a lot of you are like that as well. So today and tomorrow, I'm finishing up talking about some of the world's most amazing historic properties. These are the hotels and resorts that come not only with gorgeous surroundings, but fascinating real life fairy tales. Today, I will finish with some of the places I know best because I've been there. Been to them. These are the best historic hotels in the United States. Number one is the Peabody Hotel in Memphis. I mean, oh, actually, I gave you this yesterday. Excuse me. How silly of me. I forgot that I had to go over to my other travel segment. Sorry. Okay. So these are the ones that I love. This is a hotel that I think is probably one of the most gorgeous hotels in the country, the Palmer House in Chicago. It's actually considered the oldest continuously operating hotel in the country, which is amazing considering what happened after they launched way back in 1871. Does that year ring a bell? It was the year of the Great Chicago Fire. The owner and his wife were introduced by their friend Marshall Field, the famous department store magnate. It reopened 2 years later. And Mrs. Palmer ended up decorating it with the largest collection of impressionist art outside of France, including Monet's and a ceiling fresco by French painter Louis-Pierre Rigal. It was the home of legendary supper club featuring everyone from Frank Sinatra to Ella Fitzgerald. Okay, if you're lucky, if you're ever lucky enough to go to the Kentucky Derby, which is a really cool thing to do, this is where you should stay. You have to at least stop by the Brown Hotel in Louisville. It opened back in 1923, and its exterior is kind of, I would say, nondescript. It's very reserved, kind of Georgian Revival style. It can kind of get lost. The interior, however, is absolutely stunning, and it really exemplifies old Southern gentility in the English Renaissance style. The former Prime Minister of Britain was the hotel's first guest. He was the first person to sign the guest registry. A French opera singer would stay there. She used to let her pet lion cub roam free in her suite. Al Jolson apparently got in a fist fight at the hotel bar, and Queen Marie of Romania was in town. She was honored by the hotel in their crystal ballroom, complete with a red carpet and they even had a gold throne for her. Third place.
That's
these
cool.
Are,
Al Jolson.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
I know. Getting in a fist fight. That's kind of your, that's your.
Oh, yeah. That's
like that.
Scene.
Yeah. There are some really beautiful properties in New Orleans, but I love the Hotel Monteleone best. This dates back to 1886. It was built by a Sicilian immigrant, Antonio Monteleone, and ultimately it became a literary haven for some of the world's most famous authors. During William Faulkner's honeymoon here, he wrote The Sound and the Fury. Tennessee Williams penned The Rose Tattoo, and Hemingway used specific areas around the property to color his short story, Night Before the Battle. Truman Capote was a barfly at the hotel's famous revolving saloon, the Carousel Bar. It's been operated by five generations of the Monteleone family ever since. Number four, okay, I admit this is the one hotel that I have not been to, but I had a friend who used to stay here every summer at the Grand Hotel at Mackinac Island in Michigan, and I feel like I know it. This is all about chilling on the world's largest front porch as you look out onto Lake Huron and the good life. This is a great family spot. They have lawn games, afternoon tea, horse-drawn carriages. They ferry you around because no motorized vehicles are allowed. You're going to feel like you're right back in the 1800s. Bring your flowy summer dresses and your seersucker suits. And finally, the Homestead. My little high school boyfriend's family used to go here every year, and I was so jealous. And I finally visited back in college, and man, I missed out. It opened its doors in Hot Springs, Virginia, back in 1766, thanks to Captain Thomas Bullitt, who was given a colonial land grant of 300 acres for his experience, for his service in the French and Indian War. He was given that by George Washington. He died during the American Revolution, but his dream lives on. Feel the presence of our country's founders, including Thomas Jefferson, as you soak in the same mineral pools that he did. Sorry, I ran a little long.
That's all right. That's all right. I'm enjoying checking out Sid Rosenberg's cufflinks, the New York Metropolitan cufflinks.
I know you love those.
I certainly do. Jacob deGrom is the answer to my prayers, at least yes. I'm hoping. Yes. All right, what's happening in the world of sports, Sid Rosenberg?
Well, Frank and Juliet, good morning. Four play-in college basketball games today. That's right, March Madness actually starts today, even though tomorrow's the official day. First, you've got Mount St. Mary's taking on Texas Southern for the right to play the one seed in the East, Michigan. Then you've got Drake taking on Wichita State for the right to play the sixth seed in the West, USC. Game three tonight features Norfolk State taking on Appalachian State for the right to play the number one seed overall out of the West, Gonzaga. And finally, the late game tonight features UCLA taking on Michigan State for the right to take on the sixth seed, BYU, in the East. So four play-in games today. And tomorrow we officially kick off or tip off March Madness. Brooklyn Nets, folks, maybe the best team in the NBA right here on Flatbush Avenue. Last night, another big win, another triple-double for James Harden. He put in 40. No Kevin Durant, no Kyrie Irving, no problem. Nets beat the Pacers 124-115. They're now tied atop the Eastern Conference with the Philadelphia 76ers. Here's Harden after the win.
Sure, but it's been like that for us all year. You know, guys in and out of lineups. And I just kept preaching to the guys, you know, before the game that it's the next man up, you know. Whoever has the opportunity to touch that floor, be ready to go. You know your assignments, know what you're supposed to be doing, and stay locked in detail-wise. We don't make excuses. Like, guys are in and out of lineups. Who's ever in the lineup, who's ever suiting up, ready to go, be ready to perform and do whatever it takes to help your team get the win. And that's the kind of mindset that we've been on, you know. So nothing phases us at this point.
He's so good. Knickerbocker's back on the court tonight. They'll host the Orlando at Madison Square Garden. The Magic, I should say. NHL, the whole Ranger coaching staff placed in COVID-19 protocol yesterday. No David Quinn, no problem. Here comes the minor league hockey coach for the Rangers. What'd they do? They beat the Flyers 9-0. No David Quinn. They win 9-0. Later on tonight, the Islanders will host the Flyers, and the Devils will host the Penguins. Sports at 15 and 45. This is a WABC Early News, and I'm Sid Rosenberg.
Thank you, Sid. At 5:47, time for traffic and transit on the 7s. Here's Joe Nolan. Hello, Joe.
Well, a problem eastbound on 287 in Westchester coming up to the Hutch. There's an accident that's in the process of being cleared. Now, on the Southern State westbound, just west of Central Avenue, exit 13, car went off the roadway and into the woods. They're working on that. In New Jersey, northbound Jersey Turnpike, the eastern spur approaching 18E, 16E, an overturned vehicle. Right lane out. Southbound inner is closed for that overnight maintenance the whole way. And alternate side of the street, parking rules and regulations are in effect. the supportive service of Indeed.com. Sometimes a hiring freeze happens because you can't find the right people. So follow the warming trend to Indeed. They have the tools to help you find the quality candidates you need to help your business. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the Sevens, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Okay, thanks, Joe. All right, we are going to have some weather, and I just have to have a little chat with you guys. Wear your rubbers.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
Wear your rain boots or galoshes or rubbers or whatever you call them, because it is going to be heavy, heavy rainfall all day long. Wow, it's just 100% chance, so you're not going to escape it. I'm sorry. 47 degrees will be the high. Tonight we're going to dip down to 32 degrees, which means we will probably have rain mixing with some snow in the overnight hours. Tomorrow, however, the rain goes away, the snow goes away, and by morning we'll have some clouds, which will break away for afternoon sun. We're only going to get up to about 40 degrees, though. Saturday, though, we'll jump up to 54 degrees and lots of sun. Same thing Sunday, we're actually going to go to 56 degrees with an abundant amount of sunshine. And then as we head into the work week on Monday, we'll have temperatures around 55 degrees, partly cloudy skies. So I guess you'll see some sun, and that'll continue on through the rest of the week. We're probably going to be hovering around 80 degrees with a mix of sun and clouds throughout that week. So it is looking okay after we get away from today. It's 45 degrees currently in New York City.
All right, 550, quite a bit happening in the news, and some somewhat disturbing news on the COVID front. A new study suggesting that people age 65 and older are more likely to be reinfected with COVID-19. This study, published yesterday in the Lancet Medical Journal, found that COVID reinfections are relatively rare, but more common for those over the age of 65. A team of scientists from Denmark found that most people who get the coronavirus seem to be protected from reinfection for at least 6 months. They did find, however, that younger people apparently had about 80% protection, while older people had only 47% protection.
So I guess the headline there is get your vaccine.
Even if you've gotten the virus, especially if you're over the age of 65.
Well, I guess these young people feel that they are invincible. Down in Miami Beach, I don't know if you've seen what's happening down there. The beach police are cracking down on spring breakers. It is just one gigantic, out of control, debaucherous party that includes some violence, unfortunately. The mayor down there, Dan Gelber, said he's had tens of thousands of visitors. They basically overrun the entire Miami Beach entertainment district, like basically South Beach. And the city is going to have to bring in a lot more police to try to curtail this drunkenness and craziness and violence. So they're going to be bringing in officers from Miami, the city of Miami, to try to help manage the situation. But if you've got kids down there, I would definitely suggest telling them to behave themselves, because it has gotten completely out of control, which is crazy because the folks in Miami Beach, there are some really expensive properties down there. I mean, you know, I'm actually surprised that they've allowed it to get like this.
Yeah, no, I've never been, but I'm told it's great. I'm surprised as well. Well, Mayor Bill de Blasio is saying that what happened in Atlanta, Georgia, is nothing less than domestic terrorism. He says to see hatred take such a violent form is distressing, after at least 8 people died during 3 shootings targeting Asian Americans on Tuesday. De Blasio says the NYPD's counterterrorism task force is out in the city's prominent Asian communities, and the department is also assessing the pattern of what was seen in Atlanta that could lead to any possible threats to our city.
Speaking of threats, this is really scary. The Secret Service busted a guy from Texas. He's 31 years old. Apparently, he was making threatening statements near the home of the vice president, Kamala Harris, and her husband down in D.C. And they actually found in his car a long gun and ammunition. It's very, very disturbing. I guess this guy, Paul Murray, is from San Antonio, Texas. He's being held on charges that he carried a large capacity ammunition feeding device, a dangerous weapon, a rifle, and ammunition. He was on Massachusetts Avenue. He was detained by the Secret Service that were stationed near that residence. I guess there was an intelligence bulletin that went out. Now, Kamala Harris does not live at that home yet. She and her husband haven't moved in because they are dealing with renovations to the home. But so they're staying at Blair House right now, which is a guest home for the White House. But so they weren't there, but this guy obviously didn't know that. So very disturbing.
Well, that is for sure. Carteret, New Jersey officials are urging residents to register their dogs. It comes after a 3-year-old boy was killed by two pit bulls. His mother is currently fighting for her life. Mayor Daniel J. Ryman says the dogs were unregistered in the county and have been euthanized. Meantime, Carteret is raising money for the family with charity trust fund taking donations online and by mail.
Oh, what a horrible story.
Oh, yeah.
Man. All right. So President Biden not pulling any punches when it comes to Russian President Vladimir Putin. Biden did an interview with George Stephanopoulos that aired yesterday morning. You probably have seen clips from that. And he warned Vladimir Putin would pay a price for interfering in the U.S. elections. Apparently he said that he had a long talk and, he said, you're going to pay a price and you're going to see what it is shortly. Now, what that means, I don't know. But what it means for Russia is that they've recalled their ambassador to the U.S. for, quote unquote, consultations.
Well, so it's going to be very interesting to see what this does to the forthcoming negotiations over the new SALT, the New START treaty, which is going to be a big deal between the United States and Russia. All right. New Jersey is joining the growing call to stop young children from being physically restrained at school. Several elected officials across the country, including Attorney General Gerber Graywall, say that support for Keeping All Students Safe Act is growing. Now, this would ban teachers from restraining or secluding a child while they're in the middle of a crisis. Graywall says the proposed law would protect children from inappropriate and unsafe disciplinary and behavior control measures.
I am a huge Tina Turner fan. I don't know if you are, but I think she's incredible. And this is really sad. I didn't realize she was in such bad shape. She's 81 years old. And I feel like we've seen her recently just getting out there and doing her thing. But I guess it's time has flown by. She's been plagued by ill health. She had a stroke. She has cancer. She also suffered kidney failure. She had a kidney transplant back in 2017. And she talks about all of this, including her painful past and how she overcame it, in a feature-length documentary. It's just simply titled Tina, where she kind of looks back for the first time at her younger years, and she talks about how they were just filled with pain and struggle, and then how she found true love and global fame as she got into her middle age years, you know, once she was past sort of those horrible years with Ike Turner. I can't wait to see this. I mean, because I really just think she is such an incredible person. And she talks about, obviously, the post-traumatic stress that she has from the domestic abuse that she suffered at the hands of her ex-husband, Ike Turner. So,
5:57, time for traffic and transit on the 7th. Here's Joe Nolan.
Westbound on the southern state, just west of Central Avenue, exit 13. Car went off the roadway into the woods. That will continue for a little while. Jersey Turnpike, also emergency maintenance now. Northbound on the eastern spur, coming up to 16E, 18E. The right lane is out. And then also, as you travel southbound on the turnpike, they should be reopening that inner roadway pretty shortly. Both ways, Livingston Avenue down in New Brunswick again. That water main break right by the North Brunswick line and alternate side again today is in effect. And this report is the service of Indeed.com. Sometimes a hiring freeze happens because you can't find the right people. So follow the warming trend to Indeed. They have tools to help you find the quality candidates you need to help your business. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
All right, we are going to be taking a little, very, very short break. We'll have the news and the headlines and everything that's going on. And Sid will be joining us as well to talk about what's happening on his show. But very quickly, I just want to give everybody a heads up. If you have a toddler, there's been a study that just came out. It says if your toddler spends more than an hour a day watching programs on tablets and phones, they're more likely to have behavioral issues, including trouble making friends. Apparently, the researchers feel that devices are reducing the time that children are spending reading and sort of playing and interacting. Basically what we did as kids, you know, where we were outside riding our bikes and not glued to our phones. So these researchers are saying this is definitely having an effect on your kids. So just FYI.
All
right. Don't worry about that, because you don't have any kids yet. But
all right. We're going to hear more from the traffic department. We're going to hear more business. We're going to hear more from Sid Rosenberg with sports. Before we say goodbye for this hour, I do want to mention that New Jersey will now start allowing youth sports leagues to play between states as long as the games are outside. Governor Phil Murphy signing that executive order yesterday. We'll tell you more about what's happening in New York and New Jersey. Business, traffic, sports, weather. We're just getting started here on the WABC Early News. Deb Valentine has all of your local news in just a minute. But first, here's all the national news that's fit to listen to, courtesy of the good folks over at Fox News.
The rooster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
6:05, good morning. This is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano. Hello, Juliet.
Hello, Frankie. I'm Juliet Huddy. Deb is following breaking news stories at the news desk, as you heard. Christian and Gabby at the controls. Sid has sports at 6:15, and everybody's going to be talking today about the Cuomo accusers. At least one of them says that she, and she says others, are not going to cooperate with one particular investigation. We'll talk about that. Also, I got another email from Cuomo. Okay. And he tells me about his vaccine, his little vaccine experience. So we'll talk about that as well.
Well, that should certainly be something. We have some other Cuomo and de Blasio news coming up, as well as some news related to more hate crimes that are taking place in New York City. But first, at 6:07, time for traffic and transit, which we bring you every 10 minutes on the 7s with Joe Nolan. Hello there,
Northbound
Joe.
Van Wyck on the ramp to the Grand Central Parkway. There's a stall. The right lane is out. You're also looking at delays on the westbound Southern State west of Central Avenue, exit 13. That one car accident went off the roadway into the woods. They are still working on that. You're also going to have an issue both ways, Livingston Avenue in New Brunswick. Only one lane open right at the North Brunswick line with a water main break. An alternate side again today is in effect. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joe. From your Ramsey Subaru Weather Center, we've got a gale warning today. So, I mean, do you care about that? I don't know, but the fact is it's going to be really lousy today. We're going to have periods of rain, and it is potentially going to be very heavy. We could get up to an inch of rain, depending on where you live. We'll have a high of about 47. Tonight, the temperatures will drop down to about 32, the low 30s. And so that rain continues on. But if those temperatures get too low, we're going to start to see some snow mixing in with that rain overnight. But then clouds will start to clear. And by Friday morning, we will have some cloud, but also some afternoon sun. It'll be pretty nice, although it will be chilly at 40 degrees. Saturday, 54 degrees and sunny skies. Sunday, the sun stays and we'll have 56 degrees. And as we head into the work week, we're going to get into the mid-50s, then to the upper 50s, and hopefully right around 60 degrees with mix of sun and clouds. But currently in New York City, it is 45 degrees. And make sure that you dress appropriately because it is going to be storming today.
All right. Well, quite a bit happening news-wise. New York City's restaurateurs don't seem to like Governor Andrew Cuomo's latest round of rollbacks, which leave out restaurants. In a tweet, New York City Hospitality Alliance Executive Director Andrew Riggi wrote the state should be lifting curfews for restaurants which are struggling to survive. He says easing up on the 11 o'clock curfew will help restaurants generate much-needed revenue and allow struggling workers to earn more money and accommodate customers. As of now, the governor is announcing that they are doing away for the 11 o'clock curfews for other businesses, but not yet for restaurants.
I guess the key is that people drink at restaurants, and that seems to be the concern, that people lose their inhibitions when they're drinking.
Well, you know what? The science, at least according to the folks at the New York City Hospitality Alliance, doesn't seem to support that notion of increased transmission in restaurants. But I think you're right when the governor announced that prohibition on indoor dining and then later the curfew on indoor dining. I think that was exactly the rationale that he stated.
Well, speaking of the governor, as I told you, I got another email from him. Of course, this is the one that goes out to everybody that signs up for a certain newsletter. He says that he got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine yesterday. He has some video. He was seen by the television crews getting his vaccine. He said he wanted to do it to spread the message that vaccines work and that they're safe, and that the message to New Yorkers is take whatever vaccine you can get as soon as you can get it. And we have an issue with supply, obviously, but he said as soon as you know that you're eligible, go get that vaccine. They are safe and they are effective.
And the NYPD's medically trained personnel are taking part in a community-based vaccination center. That means the department's begun administering the vaccine to eligible New Yorkers at 127 Penn in East New York. The site opened to the public last week, already distributing 3,000 Johnson & Johnson vaccines to eligible New Yorkers. Meantime, the NYPD's medical division has administered over 42,000 doses of the vaccine, a majority of which went to NYPD personnel.
I know you're going to love this story. So John Kerry was on the American Airlines flight. I don't know where he was going, but apparently somebody on the flight took a snap of him and posted it all over social media. And he just got lambasted because he wasn't wearing his mask. He, of course, hears about this and is completely upset because he says, hold on a second. He tweeted a message out saying, basically, this was just momentary. I just happened to take it off. The concerns that you have are malarkey. This is just social media spreading, you know, filthy rumors and lies, and that this wasn't something that was, it was ephemeral. It wasn't lasting long.
I am not about embarrassing famous people or public officials when you catch them at what might be their worst moment. I think there's no way to know if that was for half a second, or I think that's a little bit of a little bit much to
I agree.
Criticize I agree. Anybody, whether it's John Kerry or anybody else. All right. Well, Kobe Bryant's widow is naming the deputies that she claims shared photos of the NBA legend's tragic helicopter crash. In a series of Instagram posts yesterday, Vanessa Bryant showed documents from a lawsuit accusing four Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputies of sharing photos of the crash that killed nine people, including Kobe Bryant and their 13-year-old daughter. A federal judge last week denied a request by the deputies to conceal their identities. Bryant's lawsuit seeks to punish them and make an example of them to the community.
All right. Well, we've been talking about the investigations, the multiple investigations into New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, but the investigations into the former president continue, and they seem to be heating up. I told you last week about what John Dean was saying when he heard that Michael Cohen had spoken to prosecutors for yet a seventh time. Well, now there is news that Cohen is going to speak with investigators for the eighth time, as apparently the prosecution's charging ahead with their investigation into the president or former president's finances. He is going to speak with prosecutors working for the DA, Cyrus Vance, tomorrow, and the team is issuing new subpoenas in their investigation.
Well, get rid of clutter, get free beer. Sounds like a win-win.
Yeah.
At least that's what Coors Light is betting on this weekend. It's offering up to 60 beers in exchange for unwanted quarantine clutter. The brewer says it's the perfect chance to do some spring cleaning after so many people admitted to comfort buying during isolation. Items will be accepted as donations to charity on Saturday only in Atlanta and Nevada. The amount of beer will be based on how much the clutter weighs.
Well, from beer to porn, apparently pornography could be automatically blocked on all cell phones in the state of Utah. The GOP is making a proposal there. Governor Spencer Cox took office back in January. He isn't being clear whether or not he's going to sign this proposal, which was passed by the state's legislature, which is controlled by the Republicans. It was passed last month.
All right. Well,
I don't know that that would go over well over here.
I don't think so.
Guy named Cox. No porn. Are you serious?
It's a joke.
Nice.
It's
I was going to move to Park itself. City, but I guess not now. That's not it.
New York City mayoral hopeful Andrew Yang, who grew up in the Empire State, says he always faced a certain level of anti-Asian bullying, though that form of racism has grown into something far darker now. Yang, who was commenting on the Atlanta spa murders, says he's been walking the streets lately and can sense that the energy has changed towards Asians. He says that as many Asian Americans feeling that they don't belong in their own country. Yang says the Asian woman killed in massage parlors in the Atlanta area on Tuesday were targeted on the basis of their race. Yang also stressed that the NYPD's Asian Hate Crimes Task Force needs more funding to do its work.
All right, let's head over to Sid. Sid, you didn't go out yesterday and celebrate St. Patrick's Day, I take it.
No, I didn't. I didn't. I finished the show and I went home, and I heard I missed Juliet quite a time here, the corned beef and cabbage and the bands, and I kept getting text messages, where are you? I'm like, I left 5 hours ago.
Right.
I mean, where am I?
At least you got a text inviting you. That
oh, I got a bunch,
nice.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, you didn't get anything?
Yeah.
No, I got a text from Lauren Conlon saying, oh, everybody's going to Empire Steakhouse. I wish I could be there. And I said, I'm glad you were invited. That must be
yeah,
nice.
I wasn't either. Yeah. I wasn't either.
Yeah, the two of us, Juliet, were on the pay no mind list.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, I was out. I was in the city, you know.
It is interesting. Also interesting because whenever I do something, I always invite everybody.
You do. You send out like a company email.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I guess maybe we've learned our lesson, Frank.
We have indeed.
Yeah. F them. Leave them out. That's it.
Yep.
All right. Speaking of leaving them out, Sid Rosenberg has sports. What's happening, Sid?
All right, Frankie. Four play-in games today as we get for the real tip-off of March Madness tomorrow. But today, two afternoon games, two evening games. In the first game, Mount St. Mary's will take on Texas Southern. The winner of that takes on the one seed in the East, Michigan. Then you get Drake taking on Wichita State. The winner of that takes on the six seed, USC, in the West. Then in the evening games at 8:40, Norfolk State will take on Appalachian State. The winner of that gets the overall number one seed in this tournament, Gonzaga, in the West. And in the late night game, about 10 o'clock tonight, UCLA and Michigan State. And the winner of that will get the six seed, BYU, in the East. John Fanta, Fox Sports, will be on with me this morning at 7:40, breaking down these March Madness college basketball games. NBA last night, here come the Nets. They're unreal. They beat the Pacers last night, 124-115. No Kevin Durant, no Kyrie Irving, no problem. Don't look now, but the Nets are tied atop the Eastern Conference with the Philadelphia 76ers. Here's Joe Harris on that latest news.
About that too much. I mean, really just, you know, pretty simply just trying to come out and win every single night, you know, regardless of all the, you know, external things.
Joe Harris has the Nets now tied atop the conference. And Knickerbockers back at home tonight hosting the Orlando Magic at Madison Square Garden. The Rangers' whole coaching staff was put in COVID protocol yesterday. All of them. David Quinn on down. They had to use a minor league coaches. And what did the Rangers do? They beat the Flyers 9-0. 9-0. Unbelievable effort by the Hockey Blue Shirts. Later on tonight, the Islanders will host those same Philadelphia Flyers. The Devils in New Jersey will host the Pittsburgh Penguins. With sports at 15:45 for the WABC Early News, I'm Sid Rosenberg.
6:17, time for traffic and transit on the 7s. Here's Joe Nolan.
Well, westbound on the southern state, just west of exit 13, which is Central Avenue, car went off the roadway into the woods. A lot of police activity along with that. So you want to try to avoid that if you can. You're also looking at delays northbound on the Van Wyck on the ramp to the Grand Central, a stalled vehicle. That continues. Now, we had a rollover earlier on the Jersey Turnpike northbound, just right up by 16E, 18E. Now, the right lane is still closed. That with emergency maintenance and alternate side again today is, in effect, this report, a service of Exergen. Accuracy matters. Receive a $5 rebate by trading up any non-contact thermometer towards an Exergen purchase at any retailer. Exergen temporal scanners are the only home forehead thermometers proven accurate by peer-reviewed published studies. Details at Exergen.com, where accuracy matters. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
All right, thanks, Joe. Are you a Morgan Stanley client? Are you rich? Are you into the whole cryptocurrency thing? Well, stay tuned for Frank's business. He's got some info for you. But first, let's get to the Ramsey Subaru weather forecast. Right now, it is 45 degrees in New York City, but it is going to get a little warmer and a lot rainier. We'll have periods of rain throughout the day. The percentage chance of rainfall, 100. And we could get a lot of it. Rainfall could get up to 1 inch in certain areas. Tonight, the temps will dip down into the low 30s, and that means the rain will turn into snow potentially overnight, low of 32. Friday, we're going to have decent morning. It's going to be a mix of clouds and sun in the morning, and then sun in the afternoon. Temperatures will be cold, though, 40 degrees. Saturday, 54 degrees and sunny skies. Sunday, 56 degrees and abundantly sunny skies. And by the time we get into the work week, we're going to be getting up into the mid to upper 50s and a mix of clouds and sun, or clun, or Souds, however you'd like to call it. So next work week looks pretty decent, Frank, I have to tell you. I'm looking forward to it. I think this is finally the start of spring weather.
Wonderful. Well, I'm leaving for Las Vegas on Sunday. Hopefully I turn out better than Nicolas Cage in that movie. But by the time I return, I'm hoping that we get nothing but spring weather from here on in.
Well, I hope that you get your dream.
Thank you.
Well, I want you to get your wish.
I wouldn't say it's a wish. I mean, I'm reserving
your preference.
I'm reserving my wishes for the craps table. But speaking of gambling, the opening bell rings this morning after stock markets closed out St. Patrick's Day very appropriately in the green, with investors cheering the news that the Fed will leave short-term interest rates near zero. What does that mean? That means the S&P was up 11, the Dow was up 189, and the NASDAQ was up again by 54 points. Now, Morgan Stanley is the first big U.S. bank to offer its wealth management clients access to Bitcoin funds. According to CNBC, the investment bank is launching access to three funds that enable ownership of Bitcoin. Morgan Stanley is only allowing its wealthier clients access because they need people with an aggressive risk tolerance who have at least $2 million in assets held by the firm. The move is a pretty significant step towards accepting Bitcoin as a financial instrument. And then finally, first-time claims for unemployment benefits are due this morning, and analysts expect to see claims fall below 700,000 for the first time this year. Those numbers will be out at 8:30 this morning, Juliet.
All right. Let's see. Do we have Sidney here?
He is here. Sid Rosenberg is in the building.
You know, the market is now up over 33,000, and all we kept hearing was when Trump leaves office, just a matter of time before this thing crashes. I think it's been like 12 consecutive days where the market is up. So
yeah,
much like when Trump took over and people like Mark Cuban were predicting the demise of the market, now Trump says, oh, well, you're going to fall apart. Haven't seen it yet. Over 33,000.
Let's count our blessings.
Exactly.
Definitely.
Right. Exactly.
I'm always scared to look at my 401k.
Yeah, me too.
Again, we don't want to count our stock bull runs until they're actual really bull run, because this is a similar run up that we've seen before. Yeah. Similar bubbles burst.
Yes.
In years past. So yeah, People should be cautious.
All right, Larry Kudlow.
Calm down. Consult with, well, no, Larry's very bullish.
No, I know he is.
Sid, what exactly did they say in their invite to you to come on over? I'm just curious about that.
Well, yeah. I got two texts from powerful people here at the station. They will remain nameless. And they said, where are you? We got corned beef and cabbage. We got the band. We got this. We got that. And that was it. So, but they know we're here very early in the morning, and it's a long day. So they didn't really press me. So I moved on. That's all. Look, you're going to Vegas on Sunday or Saturday.
That's right. Sunday, yes. Yeah.
So I'm supposed to leave Frank and Juliet April 1st. I will leave, in fact, from Miami Beach to film Gravesend.
Wonderful.
In fact, I believe that both Chuck Zito and Armand Asante will join me here tomorrow, which is going to be fantastic.
That is so cool.
How great is that?
God, I love Armand Asante.
I know. Isn't he great? He was actually at Materano's last night in Fort Lauderdale with my friend William DeMeo. Anyway, Miami Beach is a mess, though. It's a mess.
Yeah.
So my former colleague and coworker and dear friend Karen Curtis, who works at 850 WFTL out of Fort Lauderdale, she'll join us live this morning at 6:50 and give us the latest on the beach. Thursday, of course, Bill O'Reilly is always here on a Thursday. He's always great. John Fanta, Fox Sports, he's going to break down March Madness. Young lady named Noelle Leon. This is a girl who is a Playboy model. She's a comedian. She's actually traveled on the road with the likes of David Spade and David Chappelle. She's got a brand new book coming out, and she's got 1 million, Frank and Juliet, 1 million Instagram followers. She's now bought my book, love my book. She'll join me coming up at 9:05 this morning. And then from the great state of Minnesota, where now we've got 9 of the 12 jurors, my first cousin, Norm Coleman, as they get set for that big trial in the George Floyd trial.
Wow.
Yeah.
It sounds like quite a show. My
Huge.
Goodness. That'll be interesting.
Jam-packed.
Yeah,
look at you, Hollywood.
I'm taking on that nickname, Juliet, just so you know.
I love it. I mean, come on.
I like it too.
It's totally.
You got to walk around in sunglasses. That's what you have to do.
I do need to do that.
Yeah.
Yes.
and your shirt unbuttoned down to, like, you know, not quite to your navel. But...
Right, but close. Like this. There you go. I'll put a picture on right
exactly.
now.
You can listen to Sid Without Bernie from 6:30 to 10. Guests include Bill O'Reilly and former Senator Norm Coleman. It certainly should be an interesting show. Anything else happening in the news, Juliet?
Well, I just wanted to tell everybody, because this seems to be just slamming social media, Marvel Comics unveiling its first gay Captain America character. They're actually going to debut the character during Pride Month, which is June. And his name is Aaron Fisher. He will be included in the upcoming United States of Captain America series. It's a miniseries for the comic book, according to Entertainment Weekly. Fisher protects homeless youths and runaways, and he's discovered when Steve Rogers, whoever that is, and three other characters launch a mission to find Steve's missing shield.
Well, Steve Rogers, there you go. Steve, so you were not a comic book fan, I take it, Julie.
I mean, I like the Archie comics.
Well, Steve That's Rogers it. Is Captain America.
Oh, I didn't know that. I guess I should see the movies.
Well, or just read the comic books. They're very good. They're a great story.
You know.
Angelina Jolie says she has proof that Brad Pitt committed domestic violence during their years-long relationship.
Aye, aye, aye.
In a new court filing, the Oscar-winning actress offered to furnish proof that her ex-husband was violent. Jolie and Pitt separated in 2016 after 2 years of marriage, and they were together for 10 years before getting married.
Well, guess who is back together?
J-Rod.
Yes.
Yes. All right.
Yes. She's down shooting a movie in the Dominican Republic with Josh Duhamel, who happens to be very handsome. And I believe he's single. He used to be married to Fergie from the Black Eyed Peas, but no more. But apparently there are pictures of J-Lo. She's wearing her bathrobe, looking very, you know, just like she woke up out of bed, and A-Rod walked through some glass doors of their exclusive hideaway, and she greets her boyfriend with a kiss and hug, and it's all very dramatic and very much playing up to the cameras surrounding this secret hideaway.
I'm glad they were able to work things out, that's for sure. All right.
She needs to dump him.
One of the numerous women accusing Governor Andrew Cuomo of inappropriate behavior will tell her story to investigators today. Anna Liss worked for the governor years ago. She says Cuomo engaged in unwanted flirtation by kissing and hugging her and putting his hands around her waist. However, she says she's not alleging sexual harassment, but claims it was a toxic work environment for women. The governor has, of course, denied touching anyone inappropriately.
All right. And before we get to Joe Nolan, just very quickly, I know that you're all freaking out because I haven't really mentioned the royals today. Prince William is worried that the private conversations that he had with Prince Harry are going to be plastered all over TV because obviously the couple is leaking everything that they have been doing and saying to Gail King of CBS, according to Vanity Fair.
Well, that's it for us. Stay tuned for the Bernie and Sid show. Joe Nolan's got your traffic. We'll see you tomorrow.